All right, now we'll get right to it. I'll introduce our speaker. I'm the programming chair for this year's retreat, and I heard this guy do a history workshop in Charleroi and back in the winter time. And I was already the programming chair at that point, and I knew I had to get him here. It really blew me away that the way that he's able to carry a message of NA through the history and his knowledge of it. I've only had the privilege of hearing his history lead once, but I'm really looking forward to it again. So with that, I give you Kevin R. from the Choice Group of NA and ICANN area.
Kevin!
I'm an addict. My name's Kevin.
Kevin.
Hey, you have to excuse me for 1 minute. Josh! Over here! He asked where to go, and I text. And you know how it spells for you? It said, I text amphetamine. Then I said amphitheater. And then he asked me where that is, and I didn't know what else to tell him. But I'm glad he came up here, and he was supposed to meet me a little bit earlier, got stuck in traffic. So I hope he heard that. Alright, so this is very much an honor for me. I'll just tell you that. This is a very special place for me, Laurel Mountain Highlands Retreat. You know, journey continues. I was here at the very first one. You know, a good friend of mine and several other folks, Lance S., moved up to these parts. And then shortly after he moved up, he did up here what he did when I come to know him, was get involved. And next thing you know, they changed up their situation and had this area, that area. They merged or whatever, Cambria, Somerset, right, Edgar. And then it became Laurel Mountain Highlands and had to retreat. It's just beautiful up here. And the weather's beautiful. And I couldn't be more happier to be somewhere right now than to be here. Very honored. Alex, as he said, he asked me several months ago about this. And I, you know, just to get a couple of things out of the way, I don't consider myself to be any kind of NA history expert. I don't know that anybody really is. I consider myself someone who is very interested in NA history and more like a student of NA history. And, you know, typically at these kind of workshops, when there's a title like that, people that are coming are also somewhat like that. We have a lot in common, and as I look around the amphitheater here, I see people who over the years I've had conversations, I know their level of interest in this, so I'm no kind of expert. I got sort of bit by a history bug, and I really didn't like history in school, and I really didn't like school. So this was like the first thing in my life that I got like nerdy about and actually really, really applied myself to learn something other than like after I learned how to stay clean and jumped all in on that. This was like the first kind of thing, and there's been several after that. Do you know how we do? And then we get to be know-it-alls in something and we tell everybody what they're supposed to do. But this was like the first thing that really ever really grabbed me. And so, you know, that's what happened. I brought some stuff because the first time that I was exposed to a workshop on NA history, there it is. The person who did this had stuff, and you know we like stuff, so I brought some stuff. Some of it is stuff that's really near and dear to me, like the basic text that I was given whenever I came to my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting in 1987, and other stuff is copies. I'm going to give some people some stuff. So actually, well, if there's less than 50 people here, I think there is, everybody can get something because I have 50 copies of something that you could all have. But other people might get something else. Alex, I gave him a nice sweet little packet of some stuff. And if you really want stuff, well, the stuff that I have to give everybody a piece of the stuff of will lead you to more stuff. Okay? So, I am not, again, not an NA history. I don't know. I am not a predecessor, or if I am, we're all predecessors, right? We're all here before somebody else. And hopefully we keep it that way and don't have to come back after losing this. So I don't really have a rhyme or a reason. What I love most about being asked to do these things is that for about a week or so, my wife, she'll shake her head because the dining room table gets taken over for about a week or so. And I bring all my stuff out and I look at it and I read it and I smell it and I touch it. And I read stuff that I didn't ever read before, you know, because I don't know that anybody could ever know anything about this. I was clean. I got clean on January 7th of 1990 was my first day clean. And I'm so happy that the person that handed me my 24-hour key tag is right here. It's Cheryl. You know, and we're still here. That's amazing, isn't it? Little qualifier. It was a metal key tag with praying hands. You know, it wasn't white. Didn't say NA on the front. But, you know, but that was that. So, you know, history is something that we all experience. We're making history here today. I would have never guessed whenever I came to my first retreat to this place that I'd be here. And I was showing Rich this morning, like, the program for the first retreat, right? So 20 years from now, you could be showing someone the... this is the 20th time they've done this, so that'll be the 40th one, right? So you'll have the relic from this one, and it just goes on and on. There's a lot of different disputes about, you know, this other thing kind of get out there. Unlike my recovery story where I pray, hit my knees, and just ask God to truly just let me share some hope. And we're taught in our basic text tells us, we share experience, strength, and hope, not preaching or judging. You know, when I do a history workshop, you get a little bit of preaching and judging, a little bit of opinion, you know, because it's telling information. And, of course, we all like to disagree, and there's a lot of, like, you know, we fight over stuff all the time as a group. But let me... Wow, it's already that much into it. I'll just grab any basic text. It says at the beginning of us... Does anyone know when we started? Right? It says 1953, doesn't it? At the very beginning of it, it says... Narcotics Anonymous was formed in July of 1953... with the first meeting held in Southern California. Okay, that's in the foreword on XII of the third edition revised. So, if that's true, how is it possible that there's an article from the New York Times in 1950, 3 years earlier, that talks about group here helps narcotics addicts from June 18th of 1950. It says group therapy to help addicts to abstain from drugs, to abstain from the use of narcotics, has been applied successfully on a small but increasing scale here by Narcotics Anonymous. So how is that possible if our book says July 1953, this is 1950, you know? And a lot of you know the story, you know, and I know the story, but I still love going through it. Some of you maybe don't know the story. So as you might imagine. There's one really in particular, one factor that probably weighs the most in the forming of Narcotics Anonymous, and that is the forming of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know? Oh yeah, I said the A word. You know, like, I remember when I got clean, like, you weren't supposed to say that word. But it says it in our basic text. It gives credit to them. You know? So the idea that folks of a common tragedy, a common problem, a common malady could help each other, and actually are probably the best suited to help each other. We didn't invent that, you know. We know this. You know, that was invented by Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob, and they formed Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935. The other factor that weighs into the creation of this also began in 1935, and that was the United States government created a public health service system and a hospital system. In particular, there was two. The first one was in Lexington, Kentucky. And so you have AA starting in Ohio, and you have in Lexington. It was like the first rehab center, basically, in the United States. Folks would get put there from all over the place. They would get sentenced there, but you could also go there voluntarily. Well, that was in 1935. 12 years later, in 1947, there was a person who had, Houston S., who was from the South, got clean in the South, I think in Georgia or somewhere down there, Alabama. Also, I'll get things wrong. If you want to argue with me, you'll win, because I don't pretend to have like the most definitive version of NA history. I'll just throw my hands up and say you're right. So Houston S., who got, you know, sober in Alcoholics Anonymous, found recovery, and also in his recovery experience, learned that folks who had drug problems could also come to AA and their lives could get better. So he moved and got relocated to near the hospital in Lexington, and he went and approached the treatment center. He had done some institutional work in the South, so he wanted to do some volunteer outreach kind of stuff and went there, met up with the doctor in charge of the hospital, a guy by the name of Victor Vogel, and they created in, I think it was February 1947, somewhere about there, something called Addicts Anonymous, which was the you know, very first application of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous for our problem, you know, or for, I shouldn't say that because at the time they thought it was drugs was the problem, but for something other than just alcohol. And so there's some tie-ins here to this. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds because I'll go real in there, and we got an hour to cover this. The Lexington Hospital and the Addicts Anonymous is very significant, and I'll tell you why and the reason. I'm going to jump up to 1953 now from 1947. And let me also tell you, by the way, one of the little giveaways I have, if you're curious about where this comes from or how can I like see this stuff, if you don't already know, the internet is just an amazing resource, you know, for all kinds of things. In addition to pornography. You could get on there and study all kinds of stuff. And Narcotics Anonymous, there's, you know, when I got bit by the history bug, I spent days and hours and days in places like the Hillman Library at the University of Pittsburgh. I was at the World Convention in Baltimore, and while some of my friends were going to the dances, I was at Kinko's because I networked with some folks, a guy named Carl from Michigan, and Jeff, Carl D from around Detroit, and Jeff B from Rockford, Illinois, and they brought me stuff, and I went to Kinko's and made copies. And some of this stuff actually is where I originally got. Now you can just get on the freaking computer, and it's right there at your fingertips, which is good. You know, probably the journey helped me out, but it would be nice to how it is now. Anyway, back to the story. So August 17th of 1953. This is what we just recently celebrated. I consider it a celebration of our birthday. And I'll jump around again a little bit, but there was this Addicts Anonymous when people left that institution and they moved back to wherever they came from, New York City, Cleveland, Ohio, Detroit, Michigan. They took with them this idea that they could stop using AA's, Alcoholics Anonymous, through this Addicts Anonymous interpretation. So they tried to start upstart meetings. They would go to Alcoholics Anonymous where they were. And even in California, there were some sparks of that. But back to RNA. I call it RNA because it's the one that started in 1953, August, and has continued with one short break in 1959. A committee of six, including Gilda Krause, Paul Rosenblum, Jimmy Kennan, Ryan... Oh, wait a minute. Listen, I had to get glasses in the last year, so this is like the scribbly copy. I have a hard-written copy. I'll skip over some of this. Frank and Doris Carnahan together at 10146 Stagg Street at 8 p.m. for the purpose of organizing an AANA group. The name San Fernando Valley Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous has been noted and voted on and accepted. Nomination of Jimmy Kennan as the chairperson, voted and accepted. You know, a lot of people will say to me, you know, well, why does people say that Jimmy Kennan's like the founder of NA? You know, he is among the group of people that did this, and he is among the group of people that made this what it is. You know, we have no one single founder. And later on, I'm going to read some stuff that Jimmy spoke his own words. I'll speak some of his words through me. And you could see, if you're not aware, some of the level of humility that he had about that. But so that was the very beginning of our version of NA. Now, that wasn't the recovery meeting. This was just, you know how we are. That was a meeting to talk about starting a meeting, right? And actually, they had several of those. But the actual first recovery meeting was ended up taking place. And I have a flyer of this. And you, too, could get a flyer of this because it's on the internet. You know, Narcotics Anonymous. This is an informal group of drug addicts banded together to help one another renew their strength in remaining free of drug addiction. Our precepts are patterned after those of Alcoholics Anonymous, to which all credit is given and precedent is acknowledged. We claim no originality, but since we believe the causes of alcoholism and addiction are basically the same, we wish to apply to our lives the truths and principles which have benefited so many otherwise helpless individuals. We believe that by doing so, we regain and maintain our health and sanity. It shall be the purpose of this group to endeavor to foster a means of rehabilitation for the addict and to carry the message of hope for the future to those who have become enslaved by the use of habit-forming drugs. Starting Monday night, October 5th, 1953, and each Monday night thereafter at 8:30 p.m., the corner of Canturna and Clybourne, Sun Valley, California, directly behind Sunland Lumber Company. And then there's an address, Narcotics Anonymous, Canturna, Clybourne, P.O. Box 54, Sun Valley, California, Monday, 8:30 p.m. That was our first meeting. And just a couple of weeks ago on my sponsor's anniversary, August 17th, N.A. turned 63 years old, which I think is almost as old as Steve is, or is that close, maybe? He's not here, so I'll rack on him a little bit. Anyway, so to jump around to the next little spot I wanted to go to, back. Let me tell you share some information with you about the start. So, this is in the words of Jimmy. And this comes from a NA 20th anniversary dinner in 1973. And he says a lot of things. And you can listen to this too, by the way, which is really awesome. I'm online. Richard probably has copies up there for you. Listen, you can't, if you creak into the woods to like work a step, someone's recording you up here in these parts, okay? They record everything. So Jimmy says, we grew out of a need. And we found, those of us who were members had come into AA, we found we could recover. In AA, we found out that many addicts are still going down the road of degradation and death. And we thought it was right that we should try to do something. But you know, we're funny people. The more we try to do things together, the more we fight each other. Does that sound familiar? And the more we tear each other apart. We tear down the very thing we try to build. And that's been the history. Up until a few short years ago. Now he's talking in 1973, and he's referencing the fact that in 1959 there was a few months where the one NA meeting died. If you pick up your basic text, any version of the basic text, including the pre-printed version of the basic text, ones with different colors on it, ones that say don't copy it, ones that are a lighter shade of blue than this one, there's a story, well actually not in that one, it doesn't have the story, there's a story in there called I found the only NA meeting in the world. And hold on a second here. I knew I would get a little bit hung up. I think I'm getting arthritis. Okay. Chapter 22 in this version. I'm going to pass stuff around too. Please don't steal my stuff. If you do, there's some really strong looking guy. There he is. I met him this morning. He's coming after you. This is Bob Barrett. Bob was our longest surviving member of Narcotics Anonymous until he passed away last summer. But this is Bob. You can pass that around. This story is I found the only NA meeting in the world, and I reference that because, as I said, NA died out in 1959, and that was the only meeting, and then it died, and then it started right back up. Like I think it died out November of 59, and like by February of 60, there was a meeting again. And that was the only break we had. Kind of like some of our relationships, huh? You know, we break up, we get back together. Anyway, Bob signed my book. Oh, by the way, whereas I don't think that I'm like an NA guru, history guy, whatever, I fancy myself kind of like an NA Forrest Gump, right? Because I met Bob, and he was an amazing guy. He set me straight. I didn't like what he said to me, but I loved afterwards the fact that he did say it to me. Because a younger version of me, probably about 5 years clean, that fucking knew everything, walks up to Bob Barrett in Harrisburg or somewhere in Lancaster, one of those Marlickness. And I said, this was when I was getting real rebellious and devilish, and I was like, hey Bob, you know, this World Services, they're all about prestige, you know, and they want to travel and they want to stay in these nice hotels, and when you guys were coming up in this process, you know, you slept on people's floors, right? Instead of going out and getting reimbursed for your money for eating, you all made big pots of chili and fed each other, slept on each other's. And he was like, young man, what you're saying is true. He says, I'm quite sure that earlier in the century, we used to ride around a horse and buggies, and I don't want to go back to that any more than I'm going to sleep on someone's floor or eat a bowl of chili. You know, we evolve. You know, our recovery evolves. Oops. And so, anyway, that's Bob. He signed my book. Back to the story. I'm losing papers. Oh, here we are. We're back to the story. So that was up until three short years ago.
That's the kind of people. So we tore down as fast as we built. That's the kind of people we are. And we must recognize that in order to recover. All of us must know the nature of the illness. The nature of the illness, the nature of the addict, the nature of recovery. All of these things are necessary to grow and live and change. And we started from resentments, and resentments made us grow. Before NA, there was HFD, habit-forming drug groups. These were hidden. These were one or two or three people in meetings and apartments here and there. Nobody knew where they were. They demanded certain things and were dominated by one or two persons. You know, you and I don't go for authority. We don't like authority. A few people I met on Skid Row, down on Skid Row years ago from East LA, formed another group known as Addicts Anonymous. They infringed on the AA name, and they died very quickly because they too were dominated by one man. So we found out very early, our experiences taught us, that we can have no bosses, no big shots in Narcotics Anonymous. So, you know, this is the early beginnings of us. And he mentions HFD. HFD was thought to be, and at this point, probably recognized as, it was a specialized group of alcoholics trying to apply the steps. You know, AA would have these specialized groups, and there was a lady by the name of Betty Tom, and I've got copies of correspondence from her, between her and Bill Wilson, where she was corresponding with Bill in the New York City Office of Alcoholics Anonymous about trying to help addicts using Alcoholics Anonymous 12 steps. So these things were happening, but we picked up. 1953, we started. One of the things he says, some people were put in a position where they became leaders again. This is after they had stopped. The Great White Father. You know, we can't have a Great White Father or a Big Mama. You know, it just doesn't work in this organization. And NA died once more, and the friends of ours in AA helped pick us up and said, don't let it bother you. These were the real friends we had in the beginning. Members of Alcoholics Anonymous who believed in us. Members of AA had themselves a dual problem at that time, or recognized that they came and helped us get started again. But again and again this happened in this organization. One person would try to dominate the whole movement, and every time that happened, we began to die. So that's basically some of the starting points of our fellowship. Now, I'll start to move ahead a little bit, because I know I'm going to try to be keep an eye on the clock here. And, okay, I think we got a little more time. Where are we here? Oh, when it said in there, in the founding documents, there's a reference to something called the key. It said our purpose had been taken from the key, and the key was a newsletter from that Addicts Anonymous in Lexington Prison. It was a newsletter. I have a copy of that newsletter, and the purpose in there is identical to the purpose in that on that flyer that was for the very first meeting. So again, there's those connections. Again, you don't want to hear about the federal probation article from 1948. I get real into this. Oh, so some of the things that helped us really take off, literature. It wasn't too long after we got started, the literature. Even the New York City Narcotics Anonymous created a pamphlet that was basically copied and modified from an Alcoholics Anonymous pamphlet called the AA Way of Life or something, and they call this Our Way of Life, an introduction to NA, Narcotics Anonymous. It was printed at the Rikers Island print shop. And, thanks. The only thing I want to mention about this is the steps. Oh, so they begin, and I love this part because my sponsor, sometimes when he speaks, he likes to go down through the laundry list, the buffet of all the drugs he did. He'll say that once in a while. Roberto will know what I'm talking about in a second here. So it says, with guidance, suggestions from materials collected from Alcoholics Anonymous, a way of life. Addiction to alcohol, sedatives, and in parentheses, phenobarbital, secanol, nebutol, luminol, chlorinol, amitol. Honest to God, I almost started salivating whenever I was reading this the other day. Because it's just right out of the gate, they're like, you know, they got you. And then Steve was going to say the all-in-alls. He did all the all-in-alls. But it goes to poppy derivatives, such as Demerol, methadone. It just goes on and on about what they used. But we have found the program of Narcotics Anonymous to be helpful in the eventual solution of the addict's basic problems. Now see, the thing with this is, this organization that was not ours had like a board of directors, and they formed themselves officially as something that was related to, where is it at? Like a national association of something. And anyway, they had a meeting on Wednesday nights, and there's information about this. I want to
get past this, because I get deep in the weeds. We'll get talk about this shit around the fire later if you really want to go there. So we've established there was other NAs. There was Cleveland. Oh, you do have to hear the one part about this that cannot be overlooked or gone around. Whoa, don't burn that. That's the NA Purist newsletter.
It is.
From the East Coast Vigilante Committee. 100% pure NA recovery.
We'll talk about that in a little bit later.
But you just got to hear the one element about this. As these other splinter groups started around the country, this is the Narcotics Anonymous that was operating out of the prison system in Michigan, and they had 13 steps. Not the kind some of y'all are thinking about, or maybe you tried to practice. But much like ours, their first step was admitted the use of narcotics made my life seem more tolerable, and the drugs had become an undesirable power over my life. Step two, come to realize that to face life without drugs, I must develop an inner strength. Step three, make a decision to face the suffering and withdraw. Step four, learn to accept my fears without drugs. So on and so forth. Step 13 was, God help me. You know, I don't know how we got from that to what step 13 ended up sounding like. This, you know. But the word God, oh God, right? God help me. Could be. Could be. So, jumping around, beginning literature, dates, getting dates wrong, papers out of order. Okay. So along comes this little thing. But this isn't a real one, so you know, NA history, wannabe thieves or whatever, you're not getting something worth a lot of money here if you take it. But this was the buff book. This was, I think, the second incarnation of what ended up becoming our little white booklet. And it's referred to as the buff book. But the interesting thing about this that I love the most is what's toward the back. And it is just for today. The just for today reading, which I think, is it pink? Is that it's the version we have is pink. But it's almost identical. Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying without the use of narcotics. So there's, you know, just for today, I will have faith in someone in Narcotics Anonymous who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. I mean, this is like 3 years after these people sat around a kitchen and, you know what I mean? There was only one meeting. There was only a handful of people, and they were creating this. Just for today, I will have a program. I will try to follow to the best of my ability. Just for today, through Narcotics Anonymous, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations. What kind of associations, you may ask? I told the guys that sponsor that. People who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. That girl at work doesn't drink, but we're going to a bar because her friends are. Another story. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear. So, getting us out of the starting gate with literature, you know, because you could share this. You get together in a kitchen or a meeting place or at Stag Street or Cantern and Clybourne, but you got to get through the rest of the day, the rest of the week. And so literature started to, and you know, what took NA from its infancy to what it is today, you know, a couple of things I feel, and again, people can disagree and I'll let them know they're right. Literature, events, large events, in particular gatherings like this, like the first World Convention. It was called a World Convention. It was a dinner at the country club in, you know, one of the country clubs. I forget, La Mirada Country Club, I think it was. I got a program for it somewhere. But these things, so the literature right away, we need that. It's tangible. It's something you can just pick up. We're so crazy. We need to repeat, to read these things over and over again. So literature. Let's talk about the literature for a minute. And I'll be jumping around because it's just how it goes. Oh, by the end of, so there was one meeting in 1960. By 1968, there was probably around 18 or 20 meetings of RNA. There were still these splinter things happening around the country that were not connected directly to us. But the very first newsletter of RNA was published in 1968. In February, Volume 1, February 68, called The Voice, the Voice of NA. This was the very beginnings. This, along with the Buff Book, some of the other, like starting to get
a basic text. We didn't have a book. Alcoholics, we got problems, people, because Alcoholics Anonymous started in 1935. By 1939, 4 years, they had a book. You know, we started in 53. It took us, 30 years to get a book. Because we argue, you know. We argue, and we're still arguing about them books, let me tell you. You know this, especially you guys. So, but in there, in this newsletter, they gave a statement of the purpose and aims of the newsletter. To share our experience, strength, and hope with the addict who still suffers. This is 1968, 20 meetings in the world. To better carry the message of recovery through the voice of conscience, to provide better communication with written word, to build up a source of information that will provide material for future literature. See, the vision was they were going to write a book, they were going to create literature, based on a cross-section of personal experiences, to hopefully provide another means for personal and fellowship growth through creative solution. And number six and lastly, to help establish our own publishing company named CARE. The letter standing for Compassion, Action, Empathy, and Respect. So this newsletter was the beginning, really, of the what came to become the literature movement of the 70s and early 80s. And that literature movement, along with the conventions, really took this fire, spark of recovery, and put like gasoline on it. You know, because we went from 20 meetings in 1970 to by the end of the 70s, when all this, the world conventions were moving around, they moved out of Southern California to Houston, Texas. The literature committee, the World Literature Committee, was formed, and toward the late 70s, started going around the country, workshopping that would become the basic text. By the end of the 70s, there was around 1,100 meetings, from 20 to 1,100. We spread into other countries during the 70s. In 1968, we weren't in other countries. By 1972, we were in Germany, Australia, and then I want to say like Costa Rica or some place in the Caribbean or whatever. And then by like 1976, when the first World Service Conference was formed, we then were in Great Britain, we were in Japan, we were in New Zealand. We started to spread out. So we go from 20 meetings to 1,100 in 10 years. You know, 10 years is amazing. It's amazing. And literature had a lot to do with that. So let's get back to talking about this basic text here. There's this. Already went there. Okay, we can move this around a little bit. So the basic text. Oh, I found some really cool shit that I forgot I even had. In 1968, they start this Carina. I'll show you some stuff later. I have like this. The first two editions. The first edition, second edition, were published by Carina. They added NA to that Compassion, Action, Empathy, and Respect to Compassion, Action, Empathy, and Respect in Narcotics Anonymous. We call it Carina. So anyway, in 1972, they sent out this letter. Dear Blank, we need your help. As you know, the Board of Trustees has authorized the preparation of a hardcover book entitled Narcotics Anonymous. To enlarge the present pamphlet of that name. So the present pamphlet was the evolution of, you know, the white book. The idea was that the basic was this, we would do what we did when we were using, we would add something to it and make it bigger, right? You know? We're going to flip it and it's going to get bigger. We're going to have more, right? So anyway, they put out these letters to people to get involved in this. This is in 1972. There's an outline of this, and this is, I want to say, this is copies of the handwriting notes, handwritten notes of Greg Pierce. That's another person who I met. So I go to this convention in 1991. Donnie I invited me to a convention. I didn't have any money. He said, hey, I'm paying for the room. I'm driving there anyway. It was in Columbus, Ohio. He said, just come on, brother. Bring a couple dollars to eat, and you'll be good. So we get there, the Steeler game's on, he's up in the room watching the Steeler game, I go down looking for a dance, no dance. There's this big guy with a white beard, well it wasn't white, but kind of grayish white, History of NA workshop, like with stuff like this, but real, like I have copies, he had the actual original stuff. It was Greg Pierce. We were in there for 2.5-3 hours, and I was just captivated. It was awesome. So there was another Forrest Gump moment. I met Greg. I actually had sat at the table with Greg 1.5 years later at a Morlikna and observed him and the other Board of Trustees members that were meeting out of there that year. So met Bob, met Greg, and there's other people I'll talk about in a little bit. It's Bo, the other person I'm going to talk about. Bo writes, I'll tell you more about Bo in a minute, but an addict from Georgia named Bo S. became really engaged, and he was very involved, interested in writing and literature and these kind of things and pursuits. So he goes out to the World Convention in 1977 and meets Jimmy and Greg and says, hey, what about this book? They had received this. He got clean in 74, but he had found this at some point, asking about the fellowship, getting involved writing a book, went out there. And he comes back, and in December he writes Greg a letter and says, guess who bought a typewriter? I hope you have a nice Christmas. Please say hi to Lois and the baby. Hope to see you next year. I've gotten off to a rolling start with the writing. I've started umpteen pamphlets and worked on a few notes for the NA book. My friends here know of my efforts, and I hope to get a few of them together soon for input and discussion. Hopefully this will take place here and elsewhere. Thank God it has begun. Again, 4 years for AA to have a book. We're pushing 20 plus years of no book. So that was how that got started. Although I was interested when I met Greg in all this history business, I got sidetracked. I was chasing girls, some Cheryl Sponsies and whatnot. Most creative form of rejection ever was a girl named Angie who I asked her out, and she handed me the IP self-acceptance. Not sure who told her to do that, but so in between those kind of things and pursuits, I kind of forgot about history for a few years. And I'm out at a dance in Aliquippa with my friend Gary, who was like the unofficial NA DJ in the 90s. And this guy, this strange guy, says, hey, buddy, come over here and help me for a minute. Carry some stuff. So when he said carry stuff, I thought he meant like from one side of the room to the other. We go out the door, down the street, into this building, up the stairs. We were going to his apartment and studio. It was Bo. Complete chance. I didn't know who he was or what his relationship was to Narcotics Anonymous. I was willing to help a little bit. So several hours later, they were still looking for coffee cups, and we were talking each other's ears off, and he was showing me stuff. And I realized the role that he played in Narcotics Anonymous' growth and development, as he was someone who was, I feel comfortable saying that the most single influential or person who made the most single individual contribution to the end result of having a basic text in Narcotics Anonymous. Now, it was not a one-person show, but he was the real driving force behind it. So much so, they made him the very first world literature chairperson. And, he's a neat guy. He's an interesting guy. I got to spend some time with him about 2 years ago down in Georgia. Went to his home group and spent some time afterwards, and it was good. The first time I ever flew on an airplane was with Bo. You only fly on an airplane your first time once, right? And I was scared to death, and he didn't help calm my fears at all either. And we get to O'Hara Airport, and I knew, my guy told me, because I'm a know-it-all, like, we're supposed to go here. He's like, no, Kevin, come on, carry the bags, And we did a whole fucking circle, and then we ended up right where we started from. But I just did it. I went along with the ride, for the ride. Love that guy. But anyway, so they write the book. They sought input. And I wasn't around back then. Perhaps some people here were. I wasn't. But they took all this input, and they compiled it, and they went around the country, and they had what they called literature conferences. I have here, I'll throw these around, pictures of the literature conferences. This is what it looked like whenever they were writing the basic text, when they were workshopping. It looks a lot like an area service meeting, really. So, this is where things start to get really interesting for us. So, where's our real, Greg, you'll love this big stack of gray books. You ever see those? Some of these history buffs will salivate when they see that picture of all those real gray books. We all know up in here, you can get a gray book at Sheets, Am I picking on this area? Just a little bit. But it's all in good fun. So they did that stuff. Here's a flyer. First World Literature Conference. You are the book. These got circulated around. And those are the things that happened around the fellowship. Is that the sixth World Literature Conference. The third one, you know, and you can see this. So, it all came together, right? Everybody worked in harmony, no arguing. We got a book, and then everyone voted yes, and that was the end of the story. It's just been a bed of roses ever since. Not really. This is my copy of, and somebody probably, I forget who gave it to me, somebody maybe around here even. Interesting thing is here it says, not for distribution. You know, there's like people that swear by this, like, this is the only true word of recovery, right? But this was never intended to be distributed, because it even says right on every page, not for distribution. So I would challenge anyone that's distributing this that you're breaking the rules of the predecessors that made it. Right? You know, my opinion is this. Everybody loves NA. God, I put the crack pipe down and hated myself and left the alcohol behind and didn't know how to live. And, you know, that disease doesn't care which version of the book we read, people. They don't. That one sentence isn't really life or death. You know, that crack pipe, that heroin needle, those Suboxone pills that you're breaking up and eating and snorting and putting in your butt or whatever, that's what the problem is. It ain't in the sentence, you know? Well, listen, I've heard some fifth steps. It'll get interesting. So, all of that stuff happens. This was the final product of all that work, was the gray form. And then once that got switched up and changed around, this was the approval version, you know? And then ultimately what happened is at the World Service Conference, and I have this, but again, it's on the internet. I'm giving you all, but this may be more than...
I have a question.
Yeah.
The guy with the Steeler shirt, is that Dennis H?
I don't know.
It looks like
a... I don't know. It could be, because some of those conferences took, like, one was in Ohio, Bert. Bert, I think one was up in, like, Columbiana County with Jim M. And those people up around... Salem, Ohio. So it could be. There were people that were from Pittsburgh involved in that. But here is the World Service Conference minutes from May of 1982. Where is it at? Is this it? Oh, yeah. Motion to accept the basic text approval form as the first edition of our Narcotics Anonymous book. Seconded. Amended the two-thirds majority vote required for passage. Motion passed. And that's toward the bottom of the page. You can see that. But there's the minutes that we approved the basic text. And again, the rest of it was just a nice, smooth love story, right? Wrong. So in June, right after that vote took place, a letter comes out to the fellowship that says, we have a book. At long last, our book, Narcotics Anonymous, is a reality. Blah, blah, blah. A special limited first edition. This limited edition will have the special cover, be numbered, and have a title page which identifies it as a first special edition copy. So the folks that did this, and here's the thing. Jimmy and Bob and those folks had shrunk it down to one meeting and then tried to, and were part of the building it back up. They had a different perspective than the folks that did this literature work. The folks that did the literature work did God's work, did an amazing, amazing thing. Did something that couldn't be done for 30 years prior, right? And in that process, became very attached and invested in the how, the nuts and the bolts. You know, perhaps, and this is just my humble view, maybe missing some of the big picture here. You know, so from that motion and that letter till now, there's still disagreements and fighting, and we have so many more important things to do. There's addicts dying right down the street, right up the highway, two countries over, and that's just how I feel about it. What we do have to do is so much more important. But anyway, they were still locked in on group conscious, which is important. It is the basic fundamental guiding principle, a loving God as expressed through our group conscience. A lot of times the loving God part gets left out whenever I'm hearing the discussions about the sanctity of group conscience. It's not the group members' opinions, it's the loving God as expressed in group conscience. But they thought so much about that, they were even asking, like, the whole fellowship at that time, which was over 1,100 groups, what color it should be. You know, I mean, like, my home group, we don't decide, like, what brand of coffee to buy, you know? We might get into all kind of differences if we did that. But that was their way. So anyway, the end result of that work, and this was one of the pre-ordered ones, I happen to have number 1725, and I'm so
this is another Forrest Gump moment. This was given to me when I had 10 years clean by an addict who thought that I would like it, you know? The only thing he said to me is, like, he's, I know you'll know what to do with this. I know you'll let people, you'll see it, you'll show it, and you'll help tell the story about N.A., because he knew my passion for history. So, this is a red book. You hear about red books, and this is a red book. No? Where are you at? He's the fastest person here, so don't try and get away with that. So, Alcoholics Anonymous has a first edition book in 1939. They didn't have a second edition until, I think, was it like 1970-ish or something? We have a first edition. A year later, we have a second edition, right? A year after that, we have a third edition, right? A year after that, we got cute. We had a third edition revised, you know? And there was a word missing, so stickers went out, and they had to put a sticker where the page where the word was wrong. And, you know, listen, we were dying. We were yellow. We were killing people. We were, you know, dying in our own throw up and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, we're missing all these words and, like, you know, fighting each other. What Jimmy said at the beginning, tear the thing up that we're tear it down. While we're trying to build, we're trying to tear down. You know, and that's just, it's still, like I said, it still goes on. Anyway, ultimately in 1988, people were like, hey, stop this shit. So there was what was called, it was like the first big word I learned in NA other than anonymity was moratorium. Remember that, Bert? It had a moratorium on changing the book because it was fucking changing every year. So that at least put the brakes on for 5 years till we could get our shit together. Or so we thought. Because then these started showing up everywhere, you know. And interesting thing about these, I was a newcomer, and a guy named Jim H., who I don't think is with us anymore, he was from McKeesport, he gave me one at the Monday Night Manessen meeting. And my friend was like, hey man, you can't have that. You're going to get in trouble, you know. He literally told me, he said, Shannon's going to come get you. You know, if Shannon knew that you had that, you'd be in big trouble. And I could have been. It might have been true.
You've got a stack of them now.
He does. So I threw it away in the garbage that night. But then later on, you know, Bo gave me a copy one of the times, you know, that I was spent with him. And here's what I have to say about this. There's two things in here. I go to a meeting, and again, this is like a still kind of a fired up issue. And somewhere close to where I live, there's a meeting that this is like the only book they use. And I went and I asked the guy at the home group, so why do you guys use that? He goes, well, because they're free. Because they're free. I said, okay, well, that's a good answer. I like, you can just give it away. I said, well, why do you use, what's all this, this version with this tradition of that? And he didn't know. And so I said, well, let me tell you why the people that made this did that. Because in that fourth and ninth tradition, there's a phrase in fourth tradition that talks about, and this was what the folks that started this and keep doing this, I believe, in part, are trying to say. Are we truly autonomous? This is a fourth tradition, if you don't remember, says that each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups for NA as a whole. Later on in the paragraph says, are we truly autonomous? What about our service committees, our offices, our activities, and all other things that go on in NA? The answer is that these things are not N.A. These things are not N.A. That got put through the process and voted upon and left in there. And as the story goes, and again, you might disagree and you'll be right, Jimmy found that whenever they went to put the book to print. He found that, him and two other people, and they found the other piece of it. And he said, oh, no, that's not going in there. And so they took it out. And that's where a lot of the controversy started. But getting back to that fundamental principle, and again, I'm glad it's a workshop, but it's not my message because it is, you know, I'll give you opinion here instead of just experience. But I think, actually, this is my experience. It's not my opinion. And what about those things? These things are not N.A. Well, I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I spent, Cheryl and I used to go in a correctional institution in Greene County for a period of time. One building was women, it was a state SCI, what was it called? SCI Waynesburg. One building was females, one was males. I was very flattered. It was the first time in my life I was ever catcalled.
because I was walking past the yard and the fence. I felt like a piece of meat, you know, and I loved every second of it. You know, I was mad whenever they took the girls off that site.
So that's part of my NA experience. Is that not NA? Hey, Burger King's not NA. So is that experience I had going in, reading the literature, doing the readings, taking the speaker, talking to guys after the meeting, those 5 years of H&I did in that facility, and the 4 years I did after that in another state facility, and the county jail that I go to now, is that not part of my NA experience? It is part of mine. I don't know about anybody else. To say that that's not NA, the same way that Burger King's not NA, just doesn't jive to me. It doesn't make sense to me. But if your experience is different, it's your experience. You're welcome to it. I'm just telling you about my experience. So it's, and I feel strong about that because it hurts me to see us fight. We fight about this stuff. World Services is trying to get people to take meth. No, they're not. They're not trying to get people to take methadone. I know people at World Services. I've cried with people at World Services because of personal tribulations we've gone through on our recovery journey. Something doesn't happen out there where people all of a sudden, they shoot them with some, you know, crazy pill, and now all of a sudden they've turned code. And no, that's not the truth. It's not my truth. Maybe it's yours. It's damaging to confuse newcomers. You know, people say, well, they rigged it, but you can't vote. The World Service Conference is all jacked up. It's been since this. I remember whenever I had about 3 or 4 years clean, there was an effort underway to reword the steps, right? Some of you remember this. And get rid of the word he and him and replace it with God. Now at that time, a good friend of mine, John, said to me, hey, they're trying to take God out of the steps. And actually, John, they're trying to put God in the steps. It is taking out your brand of God out of the steps, right? But they were adding the word God everywhere he and him was. Well, that motion didn't go. It didn't work. So the group conscience of the fellowship worked in that instance in the mid-90s. Much longer than this whole basic text controversy started. So it worked in some cases, but not others. Again, I go back to, there's fucking addicts dying. There's so much work to do. You know, all the time I'm spending on the phone arguing with somebody about, you know, Steve tells me, Kevin. Oh, I like imitating Steve. Kevin, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? You know? And a lot of times I wanted to be right, but I'm trying to get better at that. You know, but anyway, that's my little log box, soapbox about that. You know, I can move on. A love box. I like that. It's a love box. I love because I love NA. What else did we do? So the literature process. Other things, and this is how they worked. And Cheryl had, oh, this is what I was looking for. Okay, I'll say that for later. That's kind of where we finish. Yeah. Because it says, I have to do this myself. I was like, end with this. So I'll make sure I keep that close by. End with this. And this is like one of my favorite things. Is it ending time yet? What time is it? Give me a... Alex, what time are we looking at? We're good? We end at 2:30. Okay, good. Thanks, Matt. So, as literature became available, how did it work? I didn't get clean early enough for the basic text writing process, but I was around for the development of this. So it works one in how much? That's one. Yeah. So this was in 1989, a letter about from the World Service Office, or conference rather, about the development of it works how and why. And also a packet about the tradition four, as a matter of fact. As strange as that would be, the one I just pulled up. But then we had the review form, you know, which, be careful, the papers are falling out of some of these, but you can pass them around. Where's my book? You're not paying attention. You're letting me down. What's his name? Chris. Where's my book? See? Just kidding. Then we had this. Now this was a disaster because that was being worked on by the fellowship, and then that was scrapped for put on the shelf. And this was one that was we hired a writer.
Hey, guess how many people wrote the Alcoholics Anonymous big book? It wasn't like 100 with 9 committees. And it's still working for those people today. You know? But this didn't work for us. That was a professional writer. We threw it on the shelf. We wasted money. Anybody, your home group ever waste money? Or fuck, mess something up, right? We all do that. But then ultimately we had this, you know. And I think those of you have this, the green and the gold. It works how and why. And that's the literature development process. You see the steps and stages of it. And Cheryl brings up a good point to me the other night, is that, you know, that's still going on. You know, Cheryl was involved in several other people around our region in workshopping the Living Clean book, you know, in offering input, reviewing, editing, and all that stuff. Was it done in the same way that they did it when they did the basic text? The basic text, again, I'll tell you, no book's ever been written like that before or since, probably ever will. You know, when they had, they ran out of money at one point in Lincoln, Nebraska, and some of them, they needed money for supplies. They went down to the local blood bank and gave plasma. I had a chance to meet one of the guys that did that. What a sacrifice. You know, you can't quantify that. And that's why the people have so much passion and energy around that whole thing, was because of the kind of investment that they had in it. But anyway, literature still gets produced. You know, other things that had to do with Narcotics Anonymous development are events. I told you earlier that the first World Convention was at basically a banquet in a country club in California. And they just had... So there was a few hundred people there. And the one most recent one was in 2013 in Philadelphia, which was the 35th? 6-ish? I was there. It was so beautiful. There was over 20,000 people there. And, you know, I've been fortunate to go to a few World Conventions in Toronto and Chicago and Baltimore. And, you know, in the mid-90s, they used to have the World Convention every year. And I remember being a college student, not having any money, but they give you credit cards. How does that work? You know, I got clean when I was 18, and God, through the grace of God and fellowship and some willingness, have been clean since then. And so I messed up like my credit clean from going to conventions and stuff. You know, hey Kev, I can't afford it. I put it on my card, you know. And of course, I had to go to, at the time, Kaufman's and get geared up to go to the convention. I would do like wardrobe changes, right? Anybody else do that? You know, because I was that damn important that people really cared what I was, you know. As long as I've been around, a few basic lessons I learned was, you don't get bonus points in life for having nice Mad Wheels on your car. No one really gives a shit, you know. And you don't have to change your clothes at any convention 10 times. But it was part of my journey. I think maybe I did need to do that, but it really wasn't necessary. What else do I got here? So, the book. And then that takes us into the 90s. You know, we went from 1,100 meetings at the end of the 70s. In 1981, there was basically 1,100 meetings. The book gets published, and it goes out like wildfire. And by the end of the 80s, there was something like over 20,000 meetings. You know, to go from 20 meetings in 1970, 1,000 meetings in 1980, 20-some thousand meetings in 1990, within that 20-year window. And I had no idea when I got clean how new NA really was in the Pittsburgh area. You know, my first meeting was in 87. The double bubble was less than 10 years old. I thought that NA was as big as it was always, because, I don't know, I'm self-centered, right? Is that how it goes? It exploded. Other books came out. You know, in the 90s, we saw the It Works How and Why. We saw the Just for Today, which is, you know, the little gift edition. This is nothing special here. It's not, it is special because it's mine, but... You know, the gift edition. I feel like I'm jumping, moving. Where was I going next? I had a script, but it just got all shuffled up because the heat's getting to me. To the 90s. Oh, here's the other thing real quick. It's jumping back around a little bit, but I think it's necessary. So we had a service structure, right? We had no service structure. There was a board of... Think about the ambition of the early members, Jimmy and Bob and those folks. They created something in the 60s called the World Service Office when there was only a couple dozen meetings. In 1976, Greg P., you know, basically authored this original service manual called the NA Tree. Now here's the thing. Guys that I sponsor, or folks that are in my sponsorship tree, not really in my branch, but... I remember a couple years ago, someone came to me and they asked me about Greg, some of Greg's work, Greg's writing. And they said, hey, Greg, this is a step guide that Greg did, so we're going to start doing this. Or we were told we have to do the steps this way. And people have this idea that, like, you know, that Greg had some power, special powers or whatever. But I'll tell you something about this, which he was the primary author of this, and along with Jimmy. In this, and I mentioned earlier the purist. So people would probably assume that Greg's a purist, right? There was this purist movement, Humbert, in the 80s, where, you know, you got frowned upon if you went to AA, and people, we needed that, like, you know, it's a kind of like who you're trying to convince, right? We were trying to convince ourselves that we needed it, but we were telling everybody else what they should do. Not so much me, but... So, Greg's a purist. There's a purist movement. In The Tree, which was written in 1976, the same year as the World Service Conference, it describes our service structure, and the basic form of the service structure is the member of NA. And it talks in here about the benefits of membership are clear to us. A drug-free life, chance to grow, friendship, freedom. However, membership is not without its responsibilities. It is the responsibility of each member to maintain his or her personal sobriety. Greg Pierce wrote that? Yeah, it's part of our evolution. The S word, you know? How about the another thing? You know, the evil empire in Los Angeles, right, over in Chatsworth. What some people call it evil empire. It talks about the NA group. An NA group is any meeting which meets regularly at specified time and place, provided that it follows the 12 steps and 12 traditions. Sounds reasonable, right? And is duly registered with the World Service Office in Narcotics Anonymous. Oh my God, you can't force groups to do anything. This is an anonymous program. We have a tradition of autonomy. But Greg thought that, so much so that he wrote it in The Tree, our first service manual. It was later changed and edited out of there, and I'm just making that as a point of reference. How about the way The Tree refers to the World Service Office? Probably the single busiest part of our service tree is the World Service Office. WSO functions as the heart of NA. Greg wrote that? Yes. And the conference approved it back then. See, it's all part of our evolution. It's all part of our growth. None of us have... What does the basic text say? On all versions of it, by the way, even the gray one says, everything we know is subject to revision, especially what we know about the... That's right. It's some of us move, and some of us change and grow, and others stay stuck. And I was a person that stayed stuck in my own way. So we all do it in our own way. But if you want to take a glance at this tree... So what happened with the tree... It was chopped up, and it then became the temporary workout of service, or otherwise known as the twigs. So we took the tree and broke it up and called it twigs, right? Tree, twigs. Kind of fitting to be talking about that out here. And in that version of this, they got rid of that idea, I believe, of talking about the, the member sobriety and all that stuff. And then we had the guide to local services. You know, but see, some people... Let's go back to the tree. You want to go back to the tree? Sobriety? Where we're not a group unless we're registered to the World Service. That's what the tree says. You see what I mean? So before, when people start giving you and feeding you this stuff, challenge them a little bit. Ask them questions. Call them on it. Heck, call bullshit on that. Again, call me bullshit. I'm going to tell you you're right. So we'll be real. It'll be a quick argument. You know? Dot used to say, hey, you don't have to agree with me. You got a right to be wrong, right? That's what Dot used to say. That's what she said about that. You know, and then like, so in the 80s, this came, the East Coast, the first edition Purist Newsletter, 100% pure NA recovery, and it says in there, it's talking about, what does it be, qualifications to be a purist, identify themselves as that, sustaining recovery, attending NA meetings, would prefer to travel 50 miles to get to NA than to go to any other fellowship meeting, speak language of NA, clean, not sober. Wait a minute, the NA tree says sober, but you know, again, there's all these contradictions in the process. Dedicated to members, we have only with vigilance, you know. But again, this is anger. There's a lot of anger in here because a lot of us are angry people. I'll pass it around, but I only have one of these, so please don't take it. Chris, where's my book at? All right, beautiful. My friend, who's like this super NA history collector guy, was like, you're going to fucking do what? I said, yeah. Because Donnie gave it to me and said, you got to share this with people. But I don't mean share it in the way that you can leave here with it, you know. If you want to buy a really extra special NA book, these are like $50. This is a 30th edition. You can get on the NAS website and buy that. They're still available. But what else? I think I'm starting to wind up a little bit here because I'm looking at the time. We're getting close. A few things I want to wrap up with. So, of the things that I think are the most important to leave you with, A is maybe just a little curiosity, a little thirst to want to know more. You know, maybe you just dabble a little bit and that's good for you. Because, you know, unlike whenever I was interested in NA history, you could buy this book, Miracles Happen. You know, I actually got mine and I have a picture of it, which just came up last week, and I had to show this person a picture of me. I bought this at the World Service Office in 1998, but I have a picture of me buying it at the counter because I knew what, and it finally came in handy because Gary said he didn't buy that out there, and I had a picture of me actually holding it at the counter with this sweet lady. But because that's just how we are, you know. I don't need all that. I don't got to do that. So to wrap it all up, where's my thing? End here, right here. I'll just leave you with this kind of final thought. And it's not my words. Again, it comes from Jimmy. And Jimmy, when I think about how profound him and the others, did they realize really what they were about to do? Could they have? You know, I listened recently to a little program, a podcast about this. And we were the first use of the 12 steps for something other than alcoholism. We proved that it could be applied to other problems. We're the fellowship that became the most, was and still is, the most diverse in terms of our involvement. Female, you know, gay, straight, you know, ethnic diversity. I was listening to Start to Live 3. You can go on our regional website and some angel put a bunch of things on there you can listen to. All the old Starts to Lives are on there. You click a button, you're listening to speakers. I just heard KJ do a reading from 1985 the other day. And Carmina was the chair. That's the third convention. And a woman, right? This is the 80s. We're still evolving as a society, but in Narcotics Anonymous, it don't matter. You have positions of responsibility. We care enough about each other to give our, you know, that openness. But could Jimmy have really known that? Could they have seen that coming? We are in over 130 countries have Narcotics Anonymous on its soil. Our literature is translated into over 70 different languages. This is what Jimmy said in 1973. We're growing faster than we ever did before. We're in more states. We're in more countries. Five countries back then. And there are more opportunities for each and every one of us to find our place in Narcotics Anonymous and carry the message of recovery to addicts all over the world now. We can no longer try to contain it here in California or in this country. But it's going to take everything we've got. It's going to take everything we've got to stay on this program. It's going to take all of me, and it's going to take all of you. And all of the people that you're going to talk to. And all of the people you're going to carry the message to make this a greater reality. There are people out there on La Hacienda Boulevard dying of our disease. There are people in Johnstown dying of our disease. There are people in Greensburg on Maple Avenue dying of this disease. There are people on Center Avenue and Hill District dying of this disease. There's people on Fowlfoot Avenue in Charleroi where I used to get high dying of this disease. There's people on Main Street in Washington, PA dying of this disease. He said this in 1973. There are people all over the world dying of our disease. And believe it or not, we're the only people who can really help them. Let's never forget that. Thanks.